Blog Talk Radio.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This is BVM Global Kingdom. The views and opinions expressed on BVM Global Kingdom Podcast Radio Network are solely those of hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of BVM Global Kingdom Podcast Radio Network, its management, board, hosts, marketeers, and or advertisers. Once again, thank you for listening to BVM Global Kingdom. Shalom. Hey.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his court with praise, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Peace and greetings. Shalom. Namaste. Assalamu alaikum. May the peace of Christ be with you. Happy Shabbat. Happy seventh day. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice in it. Be glad. You know, I know that I am so glad for this time. I am so grateful that the Most High has allowed me to share into his rest. We thank you, Most High, as it is written in Genesis 2:2-3, for his work was finished and he rested on the seventh day. Amen. We thank you, and we thank you, Most High, for allowing us to be on your wake-up list. We thank you, Most High God, for breathing your ruach, or your breath of life, into us and allowing us to be a living and breathing soul. You know, we thank you for carrying us through the week, allowing us to come on this Shabbat to lift up your holy name. And we thank each and every one of you tuning in, is called in here in the United States, and those who is called in overseas in the different continents. We thank you, and peace and blessings to you and your family. You know, during this week, we had a lot of different tragedies that have happened to a lot of folks not only in the United States, but throughout the continent. Perilous times and perils is happening on the earth. But, you know, as we come today on this Shabbat, Most High God, you are worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the honor. Because not only are you worthy of the honor and the praise of you, but Lord, even the worthy of the honor of you passes down to your people of us being worthy and honor of each other, respect of one another. Because it all starts with you. We thank you, Most High, because you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And we thank you. You know, before we get into today's topic or lesson or the discussion that we have, we're going to have a prayer coming from the chaplain, Valerie. Peace and greetings. Greet her by saying hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. Today, just as we said earlier, today, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I will look to the hills, which come my help and my strength. And I'm paraphrasing. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you because you told us that you loved us and that you love us presently. So we thank you. You are patient with us. You haven't said you were going to destroy us. You've given us the promises, which are yes and amen. You give us hope because of your faithfulness. In your loving kindness, which is assured and certain, we thank you for your great love, your mercy, and your grace. Just like you told us that in Psalm 90:14, fill us with your love every morning. Then we will sing and rejoice all our lives. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And we thank you for your love, Lord God, so that we can love our brothers and sisters and our family members and our neighborhoods and our communities. We just ask that you bless all of those things that I just prayed for, family, neighborhood, community, states, love. And bless the minds of those who are directing. They don't direct our paths, but those who are making decisions allegedly on our behalf. Those people we vote for to take office, whether it's the city level, county, state, national level, we pray for them that they will start making more decisions that will help. It's their constituents. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for the prayer, Chaplain. Band's going up. We need, overall, not only righteous indignation on our behalf, but to start to do things and legislate things for the righteous people of God. The only thing that can happen when that happens is that you're going to be blessed. Your family is going to be blessed. Your children will be blessed. And your children's children will be blessed. Then a lot of this turmoil and a lot of these things that's going on in this earth come to cease. Because the wicked or the evil, the ones that are not treating the righteous people of God righteously and with a pure heart, change happens, this earth will change. Amen. And that should come to a praise be to the Most High. But you know, before we get started today, and we thank you, Chapman, for that prayer. It's something that we needed. But I want her to read Psalms 1, 1 through 6, and then I want her to read Proverbs 3, 3 through 8. And then we're going to dive into today's lesson and topic.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That was Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. That was Proverbs 3. I read from 1 through 7, King James Version.
Amen. We thank you for those reading of the word. And that's just to break up the atmosphere and to get our juices flowing, to get us in that spiritual realm. You know, I just want to say again, shalom and peace and greetings to all the listeners today. This is another broadcast coming from the BBM Global Kingdom, and I am the host speaker today and the senior pastor, the elder George Reeder. Peace and greetings to all of you again. You know, last Shabbat, last Sabbath day, you know, we were teaching on and speaking about the priesthood, and we were speaking about Christ, who he is and significance of him, and as far as Judah is concerned, because it is also said that the Messiah or Christ is the Lion of Judah. And a lot of times when people say, well, Christ is the Lion of Judah, how does that tie into all the things of who Christ is now? A lot of the religious organizations, pastors or teachers or reverends or ministers, a lot of them don't touch bases on what this means or how the connection happened. Because when you dig into the historical aspect of the whole matter, of how this all started, we know that for a fact that the Leviticus priesthood, because that's what the priesthood started from, the Leviticus priesthood, which was Aaron and his sons. This was something that the Most High God anointed Aaron and his sons to take care of the oracles and of the things pertaining to the priesthood. And how did this priesthood start? With Aaron and his sons, this Leviticus priesthood. How did the two join, or how was it merged together? How was it put into place with the tribe of Judah? How does this tie into Christ, or Yeshua, or Yeshaya, or Yahusha, or Jesus? Whatever terminology that you're familiar with, how does this figure into him in the whole perspective of how this ministry or this kingdom got started? Because a lot of folks have a misunderstanding or a lack of knowledge of how this whole thing comes together, or who the Messiah, who Christ really is, and the significance of him coming, and why. You know, I know a lot of folks go, and we go to different places of worship, and we get the jumping up and down and hollering and this and that, but no one ever explains or teaches the word. Well, what's the praise for? Why are we praising? How do we get to a breakthrough? How do we get the understanding on what these scriptures mean? Or even if we get knowledge, or to get to understanding how to apply the knowledge to our life. Whether it's the Old Testament, or whether it's the New Testament, whether it's the Old Covenant, or it's the New Covenant, you know, we got these teachings that's being taught by people that got them going to the left and to the right, and they don't know, understand nothing. And then just as Christ said, we have a lot of false teachings that's teaching people stuff because they're ignorant to the true word of God. They are being taught things that someone is telling them, but they can't find a source of where they're reading it from or where they can find it. And that's a very dangerous thing. If I'm going to speak something to you, and this is in regards to the BBM Global Kingdom, or as the pastor, the Elder George Reader, speaking to you, and you can't find it, the source, or where you can read it for yourself, and at least to be able to identify what I'm talking about and come to an understanding where you could make your own conclusion no matter what it is. See, this is not a thing about what's right or what's wrong, or it's what a choice that you have in understanding what the truth is and what's not the truth, and being able to identify it, having discernment. Because one of the tricks of the enemy of Satan, or the Luciferian kingdom of Satan, is to get you confused and to get you led astray, to get you second-guessing and doubting yourself. Because when you second-guess and you doubt, then you are destroying the faith that the Most High put into your spirit of about him. Unseen God, and no one seen. You know, and I know when you think about it, as human beings, that we are people that we have to see something. Just like some of the, in our ancestors, the children of Israel, had to have a sign. If I don't have a sign on something, I'm not going to believe it, even though I see it right before my face. I got to have a sign and a wonder, you know, proof. But one thing about going in faith is believing something or having a hope in something. You may not have no physical evidence. You may not have no proof. But you know within your spirit or in that spiritual realm that you know that the Most High is going to do it, that you know that he has his arms around you. that you know that the situation that you're going through, that he's going to fix it. And you got to trust him. We know that man will take you down a road and in the middle of a desert and leave you right there and dump you without no water, without no food. He will take you to a place where you don't have nothing to hold on. He'll disappear from you. But one thing I know about the Most High God, that if he's with you and he's for you, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And you can take that to the bank. And that's the one thing about faith. And that's the one thing about having hope. We go through our daily things in our life, whether it's family stuff, you know, or it's a spiritual thing or having a connection with the Most High, because Satan has put so many things out there to keep us distracted from knowing the truth and finding out and having that relationship with the Most High and meditating on him. Distractions, stumbling blocks. But one thing I will say is this. Once you cry out to the Most High and you ask him to come into your life and you want change in your life and you have a repentant heart and you ask him to give you not only wisdom but understanding, so that when he gives you knowledge that you have an understanding of how to apply it to your life and to apply it to others in your life, whether it's your children, your family, or your neighbors or friends. And you meditate on it day and night, and you stay continually in prayer of healing, a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of patience, temperament, a prayer of love. And you ask him to bring all these things to fruition in your life, that you're able to apply it, not only to others, but to yourself. And then you notice the change that may come to you. This priesthood thing was established by the Most High God, for one, from the beginning stage in the, from Aaron and his sons and the Leviticus priesthood, to keep order. Not only keep order, but to tap into the spiritual thing and the guidance that the Most High had. Now, everyone couldn't be part of the Leviticus priesthood. Okay? He designated Aaron and his sons. And Aaron was the brother of Moses. He needed that implemented at the beginning because he knew already that Israel is going to be led astray. Even with the deliverance coming out of Egypt, because when we were there in bondage. And when I'm saying this is story, some folks get so literally caught up into the story instead of taking it and using it as a teaching tool. And what I mean by that, a lot of the stories and a lot of the things that happen in the book from the Old Testament and even to the New Testament are metaphors. A lot of them are allegories too. That it's stories that tells a story and it puts you in a place in your mind when you can identify it with, because it coordinates with the things that we deal with our lives right now. But a lot of them are teaching tools to teach us of things that happen. And it tells a story of what happened to a people and what they've done and the result of what they've done and how it affected them and what was the chastisement and the punishment behind it. And it gives us a teaching tool to show us, like, you know what, when I'm going through my everyday life here and this now, and this is the hermeneutics of it, and that's just the Greek philosophy way of pointing it out to the now or the modern day time from the Old Testament time. How does it apply to me now? How does it work, or how does it manifest in my life right now? And a lot of times these stories, is, like I said, it's teaching tools, and you have to apply it to your life. Now, the wisdom, and it gives you understanding of how this went from the old covenant to the new covenant, but it doesn't give you the ignorance that the old covenant is gone, because without the old covenant, that's the foundation of everything. It has been enhanced and has ascended and went up to a different level, because the Leviticus priesthood, Judah, and the ministry of Christ all tied together to the end time now. Not that it's all gone and done away with, because that's a lie, a teaching, a false teaching. Because that's where a lot of folks fall into error, because you telling or you being taught that the commandments are done away, that's the old covenant, and or this is done away, that because the Messiah came and that's done away with. We know that that's not true. We know that he came and he fulfilled it. He didn't take away any of the old laws. Now, the practice of those old law memorials and things, and this is the thing. The old covenant things are things that when it went from the old covenant to the new covenant, is that it was written on paper or written on stone. It was carried around, the Ark of the Covenant. You know what it was. It was on the tablets. And the thing is that the Leviticus priesthood was started because a lot of folks, if they don't hear the laws, the statutes, and judgments of the Most High, if it's not being voiced to them and told to them that they have to practice it, they're not going to do it. You know, it's back to the same old stuff, just like right now. If you don't hear the minister, you don't hear the preacher, you don't hear the pastor, the servant leader, or the servant of the Most High, and you're not going out to hear his voice, or you're not going to a place to hear him, or you're not tuning in to hear his voice, you're going to get sidetracked and start doing things of the nations and the people around you. And the same thing that was happening back then is the same thing that's happening right now. And it's 2023. We get sidetracked by the television. We get sidetracked by the internet. We get sidetracked by the telephone. We get sidetracked by the radio, hearing this song, that song, and our mind is distracted. Television, we look at this show, that show. And they're teaching us everything except what the word thus saith the Lord. They're teaching us fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, killing one another, drugs, drinking. That's all it shows on the television, on the internet, on the airwaves, in the radio, in songs. It's all that we hear. And then we wonder why our children are messed up, why our families are broken. This is something that has to change. This is something why the Almighty established the Leviticus priesthood. This is why he chose Judah, his servant, in the line of Judah, which was going to be the bloodline that the Savior and the Messiah was going to come through. Because he's seen what he did in his creation. He's seen what happened. He destroyed it the first time by a flood. And he said he wouldn't destroy it again by a flood. But that's not say it's not going to be destroyed by fire, but he created a second Adam. Because Adam fell in the garden the first time. And we know that story. We're not going to get into that today. And it's all a story about disobedience to the Most High. And it has to do with trusting the Most High and the Spirit and not being tempted by the evil one, which is the same thing that we're dealing with right now. And also through the second Adam, which we know is the Messiah Christ. And he not only gave him a physical body, which he felt, and he dealt with the things here on this earth, but he had a quickening spirit that he was able to transcend to the other realm of the heaven. Can you imagine us having that power to go from the earthly to the heavenly? To be able to open that, to have that key, to open that door, to open that portal, to go from here to the heavens. Mankind has been trying to search throughout the earth to find out where those gates are, where those portals are on this earth. The falling Nephilim or the falling angels and even Satan is still stuck on this earth trying to get back to the heavens again. And he knows that the Messiah, Christ, has the key to open the door to that portal, to that other realm. And he's been searching and searching, trying to find, digging up different artifacts, digging up different things of a technology that has been given since the beginning to a lot of them, but didn't know what to do with it because it wasn't for the good. It was for evil. Now, some things have been done for the good, but it hasn't been done for the good or for the salvation of his people, his servants. So Leviticus priesthood, tying back into the Judah and through Christ and who he is, so he is the line of Judah. And we're going to get into the teaching so that you can have not only the wisdom but understanding of what it means. Because a lot of folks tell you about the covenant is done away with this and that. Listen, I understand that in the old covenant about circumcision and all that. That's one thing, because the circumcision went from the foreskin of the males. The circumcision is went through the circumcision of your heart. Have your heart or has your heart been circumcised? I hear a lot of folks talk about the old covenant is gone and this and that. It ain't about the foreskin of the males anymore. It's about the foreskin of your heart. Is your heart circumcised? Because that circumcision has to do with your heart and claiming the purity of your heart and of your mind and of your soul. Has that been circumcised? Because if it hasn't been circumcised, then the circumcision of the old covenant still is in effect because it still doesn't apply to you. And we're talking to now. Have you relieved or removed the old leavening from your heart? Forgiveness, repentance, love. That's when you have to talk about that. That's why it's so important to understand the transition from the Leviticus priesthood to Judah to Christ into his kingdom. I'm going to first give a breakdown. A breakdown of how the Leviticus priesthood started. Now, this is a teaching mechanism. So these scriptures, you can write it down. And one thing is this here. You're not going to get this in your basic place of worship. No one is going to teach you this. And this is something that you have to put in your foundation in your teaching of what you want. Because when you're ready to explain this to your children or to your family, to give them understanding. Because you can't just talk about something and you can't just go on it running from a scripture unless you understand and identify what the scripture means, what's the purpose of the scripture, the origin of it. And again, as I said earlier, are you taking it literally or is it you taking it or applying it as a metaphor or allegory? As a teaching tool for you so that you don't fall back into error again or you don't make that same mistake. That's what the Word of God is about. It's about telling a story so that about what the Most High God says. Say, listen, don't do this. Because if you do this and you follow this path or this pattern, this is what's going to happen. He gives you a warning. He lets you know. But this is a choice that you have to make in your life. Are you going to follow the true and living God? Are you going to follow the true teachings of the Messiah of Christ? Or are you going to follow what the world say or what the world tells you what to do? I know everyone, you got family and friends, and everyone's doing something contrary to what the Most High, what God says, and you feel left out and you're alone. But the Most High God said only a remnant. And that just means a small number, fraction, because to be part of the kingdom of the Most High, you're going to be enemies to this here earth or to this world. When I say the earth, I say, well, to this world or the worldly ways and the custom of the ways of this world. All right, let's start it off. How this Leviticus priesthood started. We're going to go to Exodus, the 40th chapter. We're going to start at verse 9 through 15. Exodus, the 40th chapter, verses 9 through 15. I'm going to ask the chaplain to be clean reading on that for me, please.
And thou shalt set up the court around about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shall hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacles of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garment, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Mm-hmm. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats,
mm-hmm.
and shall anoint them as thou did anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations.
Amen. Amen. Now, you take this, you write it down. Anyone asks you, how did the priesthood start? You can say the priesthood started from the Leviticus priesthood, from Aaron and his sons, and this came from the Most High God. You ask any other person, they can explain or tell you. And you can say, well, you can find that in the Exodus, the 40th chapter, starting at verse 9 through verse 15, and explains the whole oracle of how Aaron and his sons was anointed the Leviticus priest to take care of the ministry for the Most High. That's how it started. Now, it was speaking about a tabernacle. We're not going to get into that. Now, the tabernacle, just to give you a quick synopsis of this whole matter, when the children of Israel were delivered out the land of Egypt, and they were going through their journey, and the Most High said for them, for Pharaoh to let them go so that they can come and worship him. So the freedom of Israel out of the land of Egypt, of their captivity, freed them to come and worship the Most High God. And we know that they were coming out of their freedom is when the Passover celebration feast started, with the blood on the doorposts and the death angel coming into plagues. And they had the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, when they were delivered out of the land of Egypt, they came before they were going to the destined promised land that the Most High God promised Israel. There were some problems. There were some things going on there. And this is another thing, too, that you need to understand about how God works. Because God did not allow the children of Israel to go into the promised land. They were in the wilderness. It was only a day journey, 2 days journey, 1 or 2 days, that took 40 years. He had them, they could not leave from out of that place. And I know a lot of people will be saying to themselves, why? Why did that happen? Why would God allow that? You know, there's something, it was a movie called Purge. It's like a certain amount of year it purged out all things that in a community or whatever. It was a kind of crazy movie. When I checked it out, I was like, you know what? That's the same thing that the Almighty did. Because the same folks that he delivered out of the land of Egypt, and he was going to take them to that promised land, that they didn't even get there yet. They brought all those pagan and idol gods that the Egyptians had. They still had it in their spirit. They had it in their children. They were still doing the same things. They were still dependent on the same things that the Egyptians, the slave masters. They were still in the mental slavery, the mental bondage. Don't that sound familiar today? We are all here on this earth. The Almighty's been here. He hasn't changed, and we're still in bondage of the heathen. We're still in bondage of the Gentile nations when he told us don't do what they do. Don't follow their ways. He said, but if you do, it's going to destroy you and take you away from me. And look at it right now. We're still further away from the Almighty than from it was from our ancestors. But the spirit of the Almighty is finally coming out and awakening some people that are allowing themselves to be awakened. Some people are still asleep. They're still walking around with their eyes closed in suspended animation or stupor. They don't see nothing what's going on. They can't see the kingdom. They can't see any of this stuff. And when they do hear it, they go in one ear and out the other. I don't want to do that. I'm in the finger popping, having a good time, drinking, getting high, and doing my thing. I ain't worried about that. God who? And that's what's wrong with the people then. God had to remove all of them in that 40 years. Everyone that came out that was delivered. The only ones that left and went to their promised land was Joshua and Caleb. All right? There were new children that were born. There was new generations that were born. None of them made it in there. He purged out that whole nation and all of that stuff that they were doing. Because we are a people that whatever somebody else do, they call it keeping up with the Joneses. We got to do what they do. I got to have what they have. And we never ask the question why or what we're doing here. Well, anyway, a reason that the Most High, he started the Leviticus priesthood with Aaron and them, as a good principle, because he wanted to do the oracles for them to remove the sin that they were doing. And he established this tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle that he established, because they didn't really have a place of worship when they were delivered out of Egypt. They didn't have a temple. They didn't have a place that they can go for the Most High. So they built these temporary structures in the middle of the wilderness, and it was called a tabernacle. And in this tent, and you can get this in scripture, in the book of Leviticus, and it's even in Exodus, it describes how the tabernacle was built, size and structure. Now, in this tabernacle tent was where he had the priests, because the people were falling to sin daily. So the priest had to go and do his, first he had to do, because it was human priest, he had to first sanctify himself. And the sanctification came with the sprinkling of the blood of animals, goats, bulls, doves. And the sprinkling of this blood, first he sacrificed blood sacrifices for himself before he could even go into the tabernacle, because the tabernacle is where God dwelt. And we know he doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in us. But this was a temporary structure that he had, and he had the priests come to do the ceremonies. And he sprinkled the blood. And in that tabernacle tent, we had the Ark of the Covenant, which was the tablets, which was the poles, the Aaron, and his poles. It was the hyssop manna, the candlestick, the mercy seat. And it was a curtain or a veil that was put behind that was separate from the people, that the high priest had to go in and go beyond to do the offerings for, not only he did for himself, but then for the people, for their sin, for the year, for the atonement of the blood sacrifice. All right, so we got that out of them. So you have a quick synopsis of what the tabernacle was, how that was established, and how that was started, and how the Leviticus priesthood or the priesthood started with Aaron and his sons. Now, we're going to show you in the Word of God in Scripture how this ties into Judah, who Christ is from the line of Judah. And we know that Judah is the original origin word of the word Jew. That's all that means. Now, I don't want no one to get confused, too, because when you say Judah, because this also was a land, a territory named Judea, which was a territory land that was given to also the children of Israel. Now, Judea is a land, a country. It's not to be confused with Judah. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob, or Israel. We went through that on the previous weeks. We're not going to go through that now, but we're going to read the prophecy of that. I believe that's the next scripture we're going to read. We have read how the Leviticus priesthood started, where it originated, again, Exodus 40, verse 9 to 15. All right, now we're going to read the prophecy of Judah, Genesis 49, verses 8 through 10. And I'm just reading this here just to give a reference point source, like I said, so that if you ever speak about it, talk about it, teach about it, so you'll know. All right? And this just explains, well, what was Judah and what was the prophecy of Judah? We know what the Leviticus priesthood. Now, I'm going to show you how it all tied in together through Christ. Please get for me chapter in Leviticus. No, Genesis 49, mm-hmm. verses 8 through 10.
Judah, thou art he whom he brought, whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. W-H-E-L-P. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse or ruse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Amen. Now that just identifies who Judah is. All right? So we know for a fact that Christ is the line of Judah. And that's just the bloodline that he was going to come through. And that was prophesied. Not only through Judah, but through the bloodline of David. And that's scripture too. Now, I just wanted to outline that because it says that Judah is going to be the one that's going to gather the brethren together, the other tribes and all nations. All right? And he's going to be part of the lawgiver. He's not going to leave between his feet. All right? So that means that from the law, statutes, and the judgments of the Most High, that's going to be between his feet. He's going to gather the people together. And the scepter will never leave his hand. I mean, he has a kingship, a rulership that's going to last forever. All right. That's Judah and prophecy of who Judah was. Now, how the two priesthoods joined together. The next scripture we have is Hebrews, the seventh chapter, starting at verse 1. Now, this is interesting here because remember this, when the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, when they had the tabernacles with the Leviticus priesthood, you know, that was done through human priests, or men, the Levites, Aaron and his sons. Now, because they were human too, they had to cleanse and sanctify themselves before they even went up for the praying for the people. They had to make sure themselves was right. And this is the odd thing too. When the high priest came, or the priest came to do the Leviticus priesthood oracles or the sacrifices for the people, they used to tie a rope around his leg. But first he had to sanctify himself to make sure himself was, he was pure and clean. And then they tied a rope around his ankle on one of his legs, because if you went behind that veil, you went into that tabernacle, and you were not right, you had sin on you, it's just like you would just fall and drop dead. And then they'll just drag you out by the rope. That's why they tied a rope on your leg. And that is just so, you know. So to go into that tabernacle, to go behind that veil, or to go in for the people in the Most High, you had to make sure you were unspotted. You had to be right. You had to sanctify and purify yourself before the priest, before he even went in there. So as we read this, Hebrews 7 and 1, it's going to speak about another priest. Now, this priest that it's going to speak about, his name is called Melchizedek. Melchizedek, any way you want to pronounce it. Now, he was the high priest of Salem, which means a peace. Now, the strange thing about him, Melchizedek, he had no beginning or no end. And people say, well, what do you mean? He had no mother, no father, there's no record of it, of him even being born. He was just there. Right? And we know that Abraham paid tithes to him, a tenth of the spoils that he had, because Abraham was blessed with so much. And he blessed him. But this Melchizedek and his priesthood, it seems like it came from nowhere. Let's read the scripture and let's see. Let's follow the line of this and I'll tie it all together. Let's start with the Hebrews 7, verse 1. Check it, please.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Melchizedek, to whom also Abraham gave him a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation of the king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Continue, sir.
Yes.
Without mother, without father, without this descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the lions of Abraham.
Chapter 14.
But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contraction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there is receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who received tithes, pay tithes to Abraham. For he was yet in the lions of his father when Melchizedek met him. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change unto the law, also of the law. Verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertain to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest.
Amen. You know, so we have here that even after the Leviticus priesthood was started from Aaron and his sons, that Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who had no mother and father, was the prince of king of peace from the land of king of Salem, and how there was not another high priest after him. Now, remember this here. We're going to get into the understanding now how Christ tied into all this here. We're going to go to Hebrews 8 and 1. And this is going to explain what happened at that tabernacle and what happened as far as Christ coming in, who replaced Melchizedek as high priest, because there was no other high priest after Melchizedek, because this priesthood was established from the heavens. Even though the physical priesthood was started here on this earth through Aaron, but there was another priesthood that came afterwards, which the Messiah Christ tied together, not only being from the tribe of Judah, but he also tied in the tribe of Levi through Aaron and his priesthood through the heavenly and the earthly.
Hebrews 8:1.
Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Look at that. Come on.
A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man.
Look at that.
For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Somewhat also to offer. Verse 4. For if it were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Continue.
Yes.
But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant.
Look at this.
Which was established upon better promises.
Yes.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Look at that.
But according to the covenant that I made when their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because he continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, that they shall be to me a people.
Now, the captain said a mouthful. She went through a whole lot. You know, one of the things that we have to understand of, and this is understanding what the old covenant and the new covenant is, as I spoke about this earlier, that we know what the old covenant, how it was established with the foreskin, circumcision, but it's going into a new circumcision of your heart and of your mind. And this is the one thing that the Most High, what Christ did, establishing a new covenant by taking it off from the original physical foreskin and putting his laws, his statutes, and his judgments in our hearts. Now, that don't have nothing to say about what was done away where it's going. They say it went from a tablet, from being read, from a physical man priest offering sacrifices of blood for the sins, not only for himself, but then the sins for the people in the tabernacle. All right? To where we're going to finish with this, and it's going to explain to Christ going behind that veil, offering himself as a sacrifice that came from heaven for the people. We got to understand this too. Originally, when this first started, we know with that old covenant, because Israel, our ancestors, were disobedient to God. They were still sinning. And we understood this here, even coming through the wilderness, that they were still sinning. They were still following after false gods. They were still following after idols and pagans and other cultures of the land and the things that came out of Egypt. They still were doing the same thing that we're doing right now. It's just that the gods are called different names. It's no different from that time then to right now. It's just the gods, they transferred to different names. Dega gods. It's not the true and living God. It's the same stuff. Well, anyway, to get back on point again, that when Christ went behind that veil and he offered himself up, and this is the whole reason why the Most High God sent him. There was no one else that was worthy. Remember that before the priest can go in, this is for the regular human beings. Now, this is, he had to be spotless. Now, remember, Christ came not only from the earthly realm, but he came from the heavenlies. So he didn't have a spot on him. He was obedient to the Heavenly Father from the beginning of his existence to the time he had here on earth and continuing time that his spirit never died. He's alive now. He's eternal. But he offered himself up for that sacrifice. And what verse did you stop at, Chaplain? 10?
I read 10.
Okay. Do the next to 15.
Hebrews 8, verse 11.
Yes.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he say, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. God's word for God's people.
That's 13.
Go to 15. Amen. Hallelujah.
15 and 7.
All right. You know, this 15 and 7? Okay. All right. You know, the conclusion of this, well, it's not the conclusion, but it's one more scripture that will give you the final piece of this here, and that's Hebrews 9 and 1. And this will wrap it up. Hebrews 9 and 1.
Verse 1, Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary.
Yes.
Continue, sir.
Yeah.
So there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread or showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlay about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak, particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. The Holy Spirit was signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, stood only in meats and drinks and diver washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not for this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by which means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promises of eternal inheritance.
Amen. You know, we're going to bring that to a conclusion right there. And that's a hallelujah praise right there. That's just a quick synopsis and historical aspect of, for one, how the Leviticus priesthood was started, two, how it ties in with Judah, three, how the Messiah in Christ ties into going to that tabernacle and offering himself, and the explanation of why and what it means, giving us the victory and taking away the sting of death, that which Satan came when he entered into the garden with the first Adam, which allowed sin to come into his life. Because Adam was supposed to be eternal. He was supposed to live forever. But it was changed and it was altered. But the Most High had to, he's a man of his word. He had to bring that back again through the second Adam, which is in Christ, the Messiah. You know, brothers and sisters, this has been a blessed day, and this has been a teaching moment. We will conclude this again on the next Shabbat on how this is taken into the ministry of Christ and how it was established here. And what does that mean for us? And what hope does that give us? And how does that make change in our life? But, you know, that's going to be a story for next Shabbat. You know, on Monday and Tuesday, we have the chaplain with the Women Speaks and prayer coming at 7 p.m. And then we'll be again on at Thursday night for the men's night when the men speaks, and Friday night prayer, and then the Shabbat service. But before we conclude, we want to ask that, is there anyone that want to make a comment, say hallelujah, praise be to you Almighty? We're going to allow that space before we close out. Peace and blessings. Well, it's been a blessing. I've been blessed. Until next time, may the peace of Christ be with you. And you stay in that word. And remember, Yeshua Yeshaya, Jesus is the living word. We want to pray a prayer for the people, a prayer of strength, a prayer of healing, a prayer of overcoming, a prayer of strength, a prayer of hope. Most High God, we ask you to send out your guardian angels to watch over your people, protect them from any hurt, harm, or danger. Bless their children, their children's children. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding, Lord, in your word. Teach them your truth. Give them faith, Lord, in your word. And continue to bless us, Lord, with your love and your mercy. Until next time, you'll be blessed. Peace and blessings to you. Shalom. Happy Shabbat.